This is part two of the sermon on our pattern for the ministry, the early church. Now, it's been 2 weeks since we did the first part because of the conference in between, so I want to recap just a little of what we talked about the last time, of using the early church or the first chapters of the Acts of the Apostles as our pattern for the ministry. And by the ministry, I mean literally our ministry here at the end of the age. Now, we know that those who began to believe and then to preach were obviously the apostles, because this book is literally the story of the activities of the apostles as they began the preaching after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 1 and verse 3, we read of Christ and the apostles, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he demonstrated to them physically his resurrection, and then taught them the things concerning the kingdom of God. They apparently had only one question that was worthy of being recorded in this story, and that was when. When would the kingdom be restored to the house of Israel? And Christ told them, of course, they would not know. They should not know the time, but they knew about it. And, of course, they were to wait for the power to come upon them, which they did in Jerusalem. And the power came, the speaking in the languages understood by all of the men that were there. And then in verse 36, Peter concludes his sermon in Acts 2, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ," telling the rest of these Israelites who were there that this Jesus, this man Jesus, who had been put to death, now resurrected, was the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, who was to come. And as they continued preaching and more were converted, we find in verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, preaching the resurrection of Christ and the gospel of the kingdom." In chapter 3 is this story, the next story in here, of the lame man being healed. And the people wondered about it. In verse 12 we read, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" In other words, why marvel at this healing of this lame man? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus." And then he went ahead and preached again the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, making it plain that it was the power of Jesus that had healed the lame man. In verse 19, he preaches repentance. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Then he preaches the return of Christ. "And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you," and then he gives them an idea of the time, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." One of the phrases of Scripture which is almost completely ignored today. We have so much preaching that Christ is due tonight or next week or soon, and yet here is a very specific statement that Christ would remain in the heaven until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And then he goes on and finishes this thought by identifying the people to whom the message was given. Verse 25, "Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." So we see that all of these things happened so that the house of Israel would know that Christ was resurrected from the dead, and that the lame man was healed through his power, and that Christ would turn. Now we are where we left off the last time, and we'll continue in Acts 4, because they immediately ran into trouble. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and of course this is the Pharisees, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They immediately got in trouble, preaching to the house of Israel that Christ was resurrected from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. So these preachers hardly got started on the following of the instructions of Christ to go be a witness to him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and they hadn't gotten out of Jerusalem before they were already in jail. So they must have been doing something right, or the enemies of Christ wouldn't have attempted to stop them immediately. Verse 4, howbeit many of them which had heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So they were actually preaching and converting a great host of people. Now they brought these people before the rulers and asked them what they were doing. And the men answered, in verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. They wanted to know why or how this man that had been lame, literally from birth according to the story, and we'll go back about him a little more here in just a moment, how he had been raised from the dead. And they said, well, by Jesus Christ. And then he added a rather strange quote from the scripture. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said, Jesus Christ was power. The name of Jesus Christ gave us the power, healed this man. And then he quoted Psalm 118. And turn with me back to the Psalm, because we can find out why they quoted that specific thing about the Christ by studying this. Psalm 118 in verse 22 says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. And then verse 23, which Peter did not quote, this is the Lord's doing, it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, Jesus Christ also quoted that same verse of Scripture in Matthew 21. So turn back to Matthew 21. I won't read all of this, but from verse 33 through verse 40 is the parable of the vineyard or the husbandman, who looked over the vineyard and were supposed to bring the fruits to the owner of the vineyard. Instead of that, they actually killed the owner's servants. And then later, when the planter of the vineyard sent his own son, they killed him also. So Christ is telling this parable, and he ends this parable in Matthew 21 and verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say, in other words, because of this. Now remember, this is the very verses that Peter quoted as being the reason why the lame man was healed. Christ tells about the men killing the son of the planter of the vineyard, and then this son being made, or this stone being made, the headstone of the corner, or the head of the corner. And then he adds, therefore, say I to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, isn't it strange that Peter, in answering the question as to how or why the lame man was healed, goes back here and quotes verses of Scripture that can only be kingdom verses. They are verses about the kingdom of God upon the earth and Christ's rulership in that kingdom, which were quoted by Christ when he told the Pharisees, the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now remember, by Christ in Matthew 21, of course, was several years before Peter quoted it here in Acts 4. Let's go back to Acts 4, and we'll discover what Peter was actually preaching. Peter had said, this is the stone. In other words, Jesus Christ is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And he was reminding the Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees who had him in prison that they were the ones from whom the king had been taken and given to another people. He was quoting not Psalm 118, but actually quoting the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jewish scribes and Pharisees who held Peter in prison had heard Christ preaching in Matthew 21, because in verse 45 we read in at the end of that parable, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. So several years before, these men had been told and understood that Jesus Christ said to them, the kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to a nation. Now Peter is in prison under the control of the same men, and he reminds them that Jesus Christ has become the head of that corner, the stone which they rejected. Let's read on now in verse 13 of Acts 4. And if you're a little bit confused, you just stay with me, because I'm going to show you why we are confused when we just read these things without finding out why. Why in the world did they go through this strange thing of healing a lame man and then ending up in prison? They've been preaching already and hadn't ended up in prison. All right, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. How about that? Peter spoke right back to them the very verses they had heard from the Christ, which told them they did not have the kingdom. And here these men are telling it to them again, and they were unlearned and ignorant men. And by that means that to these religious rulers, these men did not have a Doctor of Divinity degree, and they didn't have a PhD, and they didn't have a plaque on their wall that said they had graduated from this Bible college and that seminary and so on. He didn't mean they were ignorant in the word meaning stupid. He meant they were unlearned. They hadn't been taught in the schools of the Pharisees. So anyway, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them. How? Or what? That they had been with Jesus. The only answer for these men being able to quote the scriptures that were so appropriate was they had been with Jesus Christ. In other words, the Spirit of God had given them everything that they had said so far. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. There was no way that they could say anything about this man being healed. He was obviously healed. We read in verse 2 of chapter 3 about this man, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple. We find out later that he was 40 years of age, and after he was healed, in verse 9 of chapter 3, all the people saw him walking and praising God. So here was a man known to all of the people who attended the temple that he was a lame man. This was not one of these situations that we have today in so many of the healing ministries, where a person comes up and says, well, I'm so-and-so from Toronto, Canada, and I came down because I've got an ache in my back, and it's all gone now. That was not it at all. This man was known literally to the entire city, definitely known to all of the churchgoers. And by churchgoers, I mean he was at the door of the temple. Everyone who worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem had seen this man for 40 years at the door of the temple. You see, the Christ did not pick out a man where someone could say, oh, well, that's all a hoax or something like that. No, everyone knew the man was lame. Everyone knew he had been healed, so the scribes and Pharisees could say nothing against it. Well, here's what they followed up when they couldn't say anything against the healing. Verse 15 of chapter 4, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. The whole city of Jerusalem knew that this was a bona fide healing of a lame man. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. Notice they didn't say that you couldn't teach something, or you couldn't be a preacher. They told him, you don't preach in the name of this one who has been made the Christ or the Messiah. We order you not to do anything in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, be very careful that you don't understand this to mean that they're going to go out and testify about the man's healing. That is not what they're going to testify about. He says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, and the things they have seen and heard are in Acts 1 and verse 3, which we read before. To whom also he, Christ, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things, in other words, they heard of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He said, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. Now, they hadn't heard about the lame man being healed. They had caused him to be healed. The things they had heard were the things of the kingdom of God. And that's what they told the Pharisees. They were going to have to go right ahead and preach. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Now the act which was done was the healing of the lame man. And the people, all of the people, apparently literally, according to the context here, of the whole city, were glorifying God, not just because of what the men were preaching, but because of the healing of the lame men. And I know you're already, some of you are getting to say, well, I wonder, if the pattern of the early ministry, is that going to require that we heal lame people and that we bring people out and show people of the healing? Well, you follow with me just a moment. We may find that our ministry is more nearly scriptural than the ministries which actually heal people of physical ailments. And I should add, for the benefit of those who are not here, we have had many healings through this ministry, so let's not forget about that. People raised up from their sick beds and people injured and brought back by the Lord in a matter of hours. So God still heals people today. But there's more to this lame man than we have seen on the surface. Turn over to Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. These are very familiar verses to those who hear preaching about the gospel of the kingdom. Where and when is identified in the previous chapter, as Isaiah gives this prophecy in verse 8 of Isaiah 34, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. So this place or time where the desert would blossom as a rose would be in the end of the age, and it would be in Zion. All right, let's read on in chapter 35. Here's what you're to do because of this. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and firm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And what did we find that Peter said of the Christ as he was speaking of this man being healed? For neither is salvation other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby must be saved. Let's read on in Isaiah 35. Then, in other words, in Zion, in the day of the Lord's vengeance, after the wilderness will blossom as the rose, then The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Isn't that something? God said in a kingdom prophecy that in Zion, at the end of the age, in the wilderness, when there was preaching about the glory and excellency of God, the lame man would leap as an hart. And way back here, these men healed a lame man and followed up the healing by preaching about the kingdom. In verse 10, who's to be there? And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Who in the world could this lame man be who was healed in the third chapter of Acts? Well, let's keep reading on. Hebrews 12. We saw in the Old Testament that there was a prophecy that the lame man would leap with joy. Hebrews 12 follows the long chapter in Hebrews 11 where Paul goes down through the names of all of these men who had been faithful and had believed God over all these centuries. And then he ends Hebrews 11 with these last two verses. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, the whole of Israel was to be, quote, made perfect with these men at the end of the age. That's what he's talking about. Chapter 12, he warns of the trouble and the opposition that would come upon the believers and the preachers and those who follow Christ. And then in verse 12, as he exhorts the believers as to what they are to do, now mind you, remember what Isaiah said. Now let's read what Paul says. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, who was lame? Who was halt? Who was blind? Who was broken? But the house of Israel. The house of Israel is, I believe, identified in the lame man which was healed by Peter, not inside the church, by the way, but at the door of the temple, outside of the church, where he had waited for 40 years for someone to do something for him. And the church people walked right on by this lame man for 40 years and had to wait till a man came along who had been taught by the Christ the gospel of the kingdom. And he told the lame man to stand up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, all over this nation, we find men who know the gospel of the kingdom who are telling the house of Israel to rise and walk. You are alive and well. God has healed you. But until the house of Israel actually hears that, what do they do? The entire house of Israel is lying outside of the church door, ignored by the church, nothing being done to them except they throw them a crumb or two, and in fact, usually their crumbs are thrown to the wrong lame man, someone who is not even the house of Israel. But here in Hebrews 12, and he uses a rather strange statement in this verse 13, make straight paths for your feet. Now, you think with me for a moment. And consider the people who sit under the teaching of the Word of God. We always want to go out and straighten up everybody else, don't we? You notice what he said here? Make straight paths for your feet. Then the lame will not be turned out of the way. And that means, I believe, very simply, that if you're going to preach and teach the truth of God's Word, you follow it yourself. Then when the lame, the rest of the house of Israel, see what we are doing and what we preach and how we are following, they will follow us in straight paths. Today, the house of Israel is being led out of the way by crooked paths. And he said, if you make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Straight paths by the preachers of the gospel of the kingdom will heal the lame man, just as it did in Acts 3. All right, in verse 14 he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And notice this strange exhortation that he adds when he tells you to make straight paths. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The entire house of Israel today is being taught to sell their birthright. They're being taught by crooked paths to disregard and ignore their birthright. And I believe the preaching of the truth of the Israelite ancestry of the Anglo-Saxon people is making straight paths for lame, halt, blind, diseased, and broken Israel to follow in, to be healed. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the identity of the house of Israel will make straight paths for the house of Israel, and they'll quit being like Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Just think of the multiplied millions of people in Israel today who are rejecting their birthright. Esau did. That's exactly what he did. He's called a profane person because of it. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And now you consider the things that Esau did, and there are primarily two things, and those are the two things which today our Israel people are convinced to do. Number one, Esau married Canaanite wives. We are being convinced and even coerced into mingling with the heathen. Number two, Esau sold his birthright. We are being convinced and told we are Gentiles and have no birthright. And the preachers are telling us that, well, the birthright belongs to this little group of a few million people who are going back to the old land of Palestine. But what have they done? With crooked ways, they have made Israel like Esau. And back in Isaiah 35, the prophet was given to tell us to make straight paths to heal the ones whose hands hang down. And if we did that, then the lame would leap and walk. And here in Hebrews 12, Paul tells us the same thing. Make straight paths so that the lame shall not be turned out of the way. And I believe that straight paths could almost be translated, teach true doctrine. Teach true doctrine. Turn back to Isaiah 40. And we'll start reading in verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And would to God ministers today and even ourselves would realize that one of the greatest ministries we have is to preach comforting words to the house of Israel. God says, you comfort my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. By what? By the shed blood of the risen Christ. Preach that to my people, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, or smooth, as the margin says. The crooked things which are putting the lame man aside and leaving him lame at the door of the organized church or temple will be made straight and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And by the way, that's quoted by John the Baptist, those identical verses in Luke 3, verses 4 through 6. You might want to read them. Now consider again this lame man. He was not made evidence just to the people in the temple. He was not healed and known by just the small group of believers and apostles. The lame man was known as a lame man by all of the people of the entire city of Jerusalem. Acts 3 and Acts 4 makes that very plain. Well, let's continue in Hebrews 12 and verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Notice again, Paul in Hebrews identifies the place where the lame man would be healed and the place where the crooked ways would be made straight. Ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And one of the things, of course, the obvious speaking from heaven is the speaking through the written word. Isaiah 35, we read in verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, the same place Paul writes of in Hebrews 12, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And, of course, we see that the people that were to be there is in verse 9, but the redeemed shall walk there. Who are the redeemed? The house of Israel. The lame that will leap for joy is the house of Israel when they have been redeemed. Turn back to Acts 3, and we'll close there. I'm not going to be able to finish this because there are several chapters more that we'll have to study, because you must realize by now that we haven't quite reached the point where they healed the lame man. In other words, the ministry as it is today is just now in the process of telling the lame man to rise up and walk. That's literally true of our kingdom ministry. But let's read Acts 3 about this lame man again, so you'll recognize that he is actually a symbolic person of the house of Israel. Acts 3, these are verses we skipped before. In verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Now today, America, Israel, lame, broken, destroyed, sick, house of Israel. What are they doing? They think they can solve all their problems with money. Now you notice, this lame man did not ask to be healed. Do you know any great number of people in Israel today who are actually asking for healing for the nation? No. The vast majority of our people say, well, if we just get enough money. And here is this lame man, been lame for 40 years, and that's all he's asking for, is money. He asked them for alms. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Would to God that ministers today would recognize they are supposed to go to the house of Israel and say, Israel, hear the word I'm preaching. You look at me and listen to me. Quit asking for money, for help. Quit sitting here outside of the church in the hopes that the church will help you, because the church will not help you. The church leaves you sit right there outside of the door, already has left you there for 40 years. They're certainly not going to do much now. He says, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Remember the prophecies about silver and gold will not save Israel in the end of the age. They'll actually cast their silver and gold to the bats and to the moles. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The message that we have for the house of Israel today is not, send me your money and I'll fight the communists and we'll save America. No. The message for the house of Israel today is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Israel, you rise up and walk. You stand in the power of God. And poor, broken down, decrepit, lame, crippled Israel sits outside the door of the church, and no one tells him how he can walk until these men came along. And remember who these men are. They were the men who preached of a resurrected Christ and the gospel of the kingdom. I am convinced in my mind that any minister who does not know or preach the gospel of the kingdom can do nothing for the lame, crippled house of Israel. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because they don't recognize where the power is. These men did. We don't have any gold. We don't have any silver. We don't have anything to give you. Except Christ has redeemed you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And I would suggest that after the service today, when you go home, you read the 37th chapter of Ezekiel about the dry bones of Israel. What received strength here? His bones. This is the bones of the house of Israel, repaired by the simple statement to them, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Israel, you rise up and walk. And look what he did. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What did we find in Isaiah 35 that the house of Israel was to do? That the lame man would leap as an hart, and they would sing and praise the Lord God Almighty. That's exactly what Israel will do when Israel hears the truth that she has been redeemed. And I believe that the sequence of events is that this nation, as the house of Israel, is going to be healed through the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and the resurrected Christ, and America is going to rise up above all the nations of the earth, and then look what they did. What the people did when they saw this lame man. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I believe that all the world will see Israel raised up, restored by God in this end of the age, and the whole world will wonder at Israel, and they will do exactly what it says here. They will wonder at Israel praising God. Now, Israel is not praising God yet. All right, we're going to stop for now. I want to continue, Lord willing, next week and demonstrate again why I think we haven't quite gotten as far in our ministry, in our kingdom ministries at this end of the age, as these men did when the lame man was healed, because our lame man is not healed. Our lame man is still lame. Let's all stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these words of comfort, these words which verify the spoken and written word of the prophets, that thou hast redeemed Israel. And in thee is Israel's strength. Father, help us to believe that in the name of Christ, in his word, in his shed blood, is our help, is our deliverance, is our salvation. Nothing that we can do, nothing that man can do, gold and silver cannot help this thy people. Only thy word, thy power, thy spirit, through thy blood, we ask thy mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.